And how many of you guys were here last week? Do you remember what we talked about being hearers or doers? How many of you guys tried to apply being a doer to your life this past week instead of just not being a hearer only? Praise God. Well, last week, if you guys weren't here, you know, what we did is we just took, all we're doing is we're taking some things of the Bible. The Bible makes some very clear statements about this or that, whether you're light or you're dark or you're a hearer or you're a doer, or today we're going to talk about fruit. So what we're doing is we're just taking a look at what the Bible says about contrasts and this or that, and we're just applying them. We're going to look at the definitions. We're just going to look at what the Bible says about them, what the Bible speaks about them, and take a look at them within our own lives. You know, I said it last week, and it ended up being a preaching message anyways. I said, I'm not going to preach at you. I'm just going to state what the Bible says, and you guys make your own decisions. But as I started preaching, I got fired up because it's just, the Bible is just too good. There's just such a wealth of information for us to not get excited about it. It's just hard. And so tonight, I want to talk about fruit. The Bible talks about fruit. You guys ready to talk about fruit? You know, like Fruit of the Loom, you know, can you picture me in like the grape suit today up here talking about fruit tonight? No, all right, I'm not talking about apples, I'm not talking about oranges or whatever it may be. I want to talk about fruit. And we're going to get into what type of fruit, but I want to make mention that from the very beginning of the Bible all the way to the end of the Bible, and starting in the book of Genesis, the Bible starts to refer to fruit, metaphorically speaking. Now, you've heard the very first thing about fruit. Adam and Eve were given a choice to live in the Garden of Eden, if you remember that, right? And God, when he built the Garden of Eden, he had that tree in the middle, right? And it was a tree of the knowledge, or tree of the what? The fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, right? So there's the first reference we see to fruit. And then God tells Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. One person was joking with me and says that as a people, that's the only command that God gave us in general that we have all obeyed. But metaphorically speaking, the Bible refers to us Christians as fruit, believe it or not. Now, I know that we're all having a mental image of like a pear or whatever it may be. But what is fruit? Speaking of talking about contrast in the Bible, what is it that we're talking about in fruit? Is it pears? Is it grapes? You know, we're going to actually talk about this in a couple months, about Jesus talks about being the vine dresser, and they use the example of a vineyard, and God being the owner of a vineyard, Jesus being the one that, you know, the vine, and we being the branches and the grapes. Are we actually physically grapes? No. Are we actually physically fruit? No. What is fruit in speaking of the Bible? Well, let me say what fruit is. Fruit is a byproduct of our behavior. It is the physical evidence of our innermost things. It is the appearance of our inner DNA. Does that make sense? Fruit is the byproduct of our behavior. Let's say it like this. It is hard to judge a tree by its bark, going back to the natural world, right? Let's take a look at citrus trees. We all, you know, we live in the Inland Empire, famous for the citrus groves, the oranges, the tangerines, the grapefruit, the lime, the lemon, whatever it might be. When you look at a citrus tree, I think back to my house. We have what's called a green belt, a bunch of citrus trees aligned around our housing association in our community. When you look at the tree without fruit on there, it is hard, if not impossible, to tell what type of tree it is. A grapefruit tree and an orange tree, if you've ever seen them at full growth, they look very similar to each other. A lime tree and a lemon tree, a lemon tree and an orange tree and a tangerine tree, they all have similar type leaves, they all have a similar type structure. So we can't necessarily tell a fruit. Now, I'm sure that, you know, a botanist or somebody who does that for a living would be able to tell so, but us, the general person, by looking at a tree, it's hard to tell. But you all can relate to this. When that tree has fruit on it, now all of a sudden we can tell what it is, right? If it's got big yellow balls on it, we know that obviously it's not a lime tree, right? Because limes aren't yellow. And if it's got rectangular or football shaped fruit on it, we know that it's not an orange tree, but maybe it's more so a lemon tree, because that's how lemons. So then you can tell a tree by its fruit. And the Bible speaks of that as us as Christians, as you can tell us by our fruit. It's the evidence, it's the product of our behavior. A tree, when it just stands there, is a tree, but all of a sudden when it bears fruit, now there's a byproduct of its DNA. You know, an orange tree cannot make apples, right? And an apple tree cannot make cherries, because in its inner DNA, in its innermost being, its fruit comes from with what it is from within. And the same thing is for us applies to us as Christians and the children of God and people in general, is that we all have fruit. And tonight we're going to talk about a contrast in the Bible that Jesus specifically refers to in fruit. Speaking of good fruit and bad fruit. How many of you have ever picked up, let's say, an avocado or an apple or an orange or something like that, maybe bit into it late at night, eyes are half closed, you're trying to get a snack or a pear, right? And all of a sudden, it's just, there's nothing in there. It's just nasty, right? Has anybody had bad fruit, sour fruit, bad orange juice, right? You know when it's good fruit or it's bad fruit. You know, I can recall back to a time when I was getting a snack late at night, and I have the tendency to just do that, you know, especially now that the baby's up. A lot of times at 2 or 3 in the morning, I'll go get a piece of string cheese, and I have a memory of, you know, straggling down the stairs, and for me, it's pickles now, but straggling down the stairs at night, and you know, my eyes half closed, because I'm trying not to, like, wake up all the way, and just getting something, and I remember, I think it was a pear. And I just kind of like, and my wife and I, we have this tendency, we buy fruit all the time, we buy heads of lettuce, and we buy vegetables, and we buy them all the time, say, we're going to start eating healthy, we're going to do it right, we're going to kick it off the right way, and we put it in that fruit and vegetable container in our refrigerator, and about 5 or 6 months later, when that odd smell starts to come up when you open the refrigerator, then we say, oh, we forgot about it. And so it happens to be that one of those times I recall grabbing down and getting, I think it was a pear, because at that time I was on a pear kick, and just getting into it, and oh my, wow, there wasn't anything but goop, like Jell-O, and it was just, yeah. And the Bible talks about, so, you know, we all, oh, because we all know, man, when you get into some bad fruit, it's some bad fruit. And so speaking of contrasts in the Bible tonight, I want to look at a subject of fruit. The byproduct of us as Christians, what it is that we do, the physical evidence of who we are, the physical evidence of what we do. You know, the Bible tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? You guys might have heard that. So whatever it is we do on the outside is the fruit of who we are on the inside. Does that make sense to you? So if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to turn into Matthew, the 7th chapter. Funny enough, last week we were also in Matthew, the 7th chapter. And actually what we're going to do is we're going to be in the segment right above what we read last week. Matthew, the 7th chapter, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be reading verse number 16 through 20. Matthew 7, verse 16. To give you a little bit of background here, you'll notice that if you flip a couple pages back all the way from Matthew, the 5th chapter, here Jesus is preaching a sermon. The whole chapter, all of chapter 6, all, you know, chapter 5, we read that this is all words of Christ in red. So here Jesus is preaching a sermon, and he begins to wrap it up with these last thoughts. And in verse number 15, Jesus, speaking of false prophets, says, beware of false prophets. This wouldn't be up on the overhead. I didn't include this because I'm just going to give you some background. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So here we see, here's an example. They come to you outwardly in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit, verse 16 says. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Verse number 17, so then, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Verse number 18, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Verse number 14, therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. So here, Jesus gives us a clear contrast in fruit. We have bad fruit and we have good fruit. Using the false prophets, the people that would come and present themselves as religious leaders and try to bring the church, try to bring those who were vulnerable to messages and to preaching, try to lead them astray, maybe for their own selfish gain, maybe because they thought that they had heard something from God or whatever it might be. But ultimately speaking, they are false prophets. And Jesus says, beware, because they'll come to you in sheep's clothing. Remember speaking of that outward appearance. They'll come to you appearing as one of you. How many of you guys know that the Bible refers to us oftentimes as sheep and Jesus Christ as the shepherd? So they'll come to you as one of yourselves, as sheep's clothing. He who is innocent, he who has good intentions, but really on the inside, he says, they are ravenous wolves. They're not just wolves. They're not just lions. I mean, ravenous wolves. If you get that picture in your mind, that's like a, you know, the wolf, you know, you've seen it like with the teeth showing and the shoestrings hanging out of the side of the mouth and doing the growl. And I mean, they are ready to attack. They are ready to pounce. And here he says, beware of them. Beware of people like them. One, and then what do you go right after that statement, speaking of the false prophets who come to us outwardly in one way, but inwardly or another way? He says, you will know them by their fruit, by what they actually say, by what they actually do. Because, you know, how many of you guys know appearances only last for so long? Has anybody here tried to make a first impression? Done great on that first impression and that second impression. Holy cow. Man, appearances do not last long. Here Jesus says, you will be known by your fruit. Because, you know, ultimately we can all come and we can all try to be somebody who we aren't. You know, we can all try to put on a facade, you know, try to dress up and change the way we look and change the way we are. But ultimately inside, just like the orange tree is an orange tree, and that's what Jesus goes on to say, is we are who we are on the inside. And what we put in, what we feed ourselves, will determine our DNA, whether or not we are led by the Spirit or we are led by the flesh, which we'll get into in a moment. Speaking of good fruit and bad fruit, Jesus says, you don't gather grapes from a thorn bush, right? What do you get grapes from? A vineyard, right? A vine. You don't grab a fig from thistles. Half of us don't even know what a fig is. It's this really weird looking, you know, tree. Anyways, you don't grab it. So what he's saying is that grapes don't grow from thorn bushes. Grapes grow from vines, from the vineyard. Figs don't grow from thistles. Figs grow from fig trees. So ultimately, we can do the best we can to put on a facade. We could do the best we can to hide amongst people and to try to be who, to be something different. But, you know, the bottom line is as time goes by, that first impression, that second impression, that third impression, whatever it might be, the true colors will eventually come out. Because like the Bible says, and like I had said earlier, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we've all probably can imagine somebody in our mind, obviously it's not our own selves, where we thought of them as one way, and then after a while we found out that they were somebody else. Now, that's none of us here, but we can all imagine somebody else, you know, somewhere else, not in church or whatever it might be, not sitting in these chairs. So tonight, we're going to look at some contrast, and what we're going to do is we're just going to look at the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And just look at what the Bible says about them, what you can see, what they physically are, and how the lifestyle between somebody who lives in the flesh and versus somebody who lives in the Spirit. And we're going to just look at them, just experiment with them, and just explore them. And then just like we did with being hearers and doers, we can make the decision whether or not we want to live like somebody who wants to be in the flesh, or we can live like somebody who wants to be in the Spirit, because ultimately what we put in is what we're going to get out. So are you guys ready to get into looking at the contrast? Let's take a look at the fruit of the flesh. Here Jesus says in Matthew, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Right off the bat, I'm going to share with you. Right off the bat, Jesus says, you know what? If you've got bad fruit living by the flesh, it's a guarantee, guys, that tree that bears bad fruit or no fruit at all will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So, you know, we're going to get into another verse in a moment, and some of the attributes of that verse word for word describe what society says is cool. And so we're going to get into that, because, you know, our culture, especially us as young adults, as college age students, you know, finding our careers, finding our past, finding our boyfriends and girlfriends, and looking at mates and husbands and wives and whatever it might be, a lot of these principles apply to our people in our generation, especially so. But I want to emphasize before we get off that, as we read this, you might say, yeah, man, drunkenness. Woo, yeah, I like to get out and party. Jesus says right off the bat that therefore anyone who does not bear good fruit would be cut down and thrown into the fire. So tonight, let's look at the fruit of the flesh. If you've got your Bibles with you, let's turn to Galatians, the fifth chapter. Now in Galatians, the fifth chapter, here Paul the Apostle is writing to the church. And he also speaks of two contrasts. The fruit of the flesh doesn't necessarily refer to it as fruit, but then he goes back and refers it to the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm going to share with you an interesting thought. Based on the definition of what is fruit, fruit is the byproduct of the behavior. It is the physical evidence of the innermost thing. It is the outward appearance of our inner DNA. So here in Galatians, the fifth chapter, in verse number 19, Paul the Apostle writing to the church says, now, the works of the flesh are evident. Okay, works. That's the outward appearance, right? Our works, what we physically do, are evident. Remember, we said fruit is the evidence of innermost things. So even though he's not saying the fruit of the flesh is, he's saying fruit and what he, and right here, the works of the flesh, fruit and works. They're the same thing because they're evidence. They're the outward appearance. So here we can read that as, or you can interpret that as, the fruit of the flesh are evident, and they are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, isn't that interesting that I read Matthew, the 7th chapter, and here we're talking, you know, years after Jesus Christ had come and preached this message. Here, Paul the Apostle, after studying the things of God, repeats the very same thing. Jesus saying that now, recalling to fruit, bad fruit, speaking of fruits of the flesh, the bad fruit, the things that you envy, obviously murder, obviously is not a good fruit. So we're speaking of bad fruit. Here Paul says, those who operate, those who live in these types of things, those whose fruits of the flesh are evident more so than fruits of the spirit, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. I find it interesting that Paul and Jesus are on the same page. Now, isn't that something when the Bible tells us that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let all things be established? Here, two separate teachers are telling us the same thing, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. When we allow our sin nature, which is inherent to all of us by birth, listen, we are all born with a sin nature. This stuff comes natural. And that's why I gave that little warning, that little tidbit of a warning, that some of the things that we read, we say, yeah, man, that's pretty fun. You know, parties, lewdness, drunkenness, fornication. Heck yeah, dude, that's fun. That's because that's ingrained in our sin nature. When Adam and Eve partook of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, when they did that and all of a sudden their eyes were open to the sin nature, each and every one of us were born naturally with that sin nature. Jesus Christ was the only one that came, born of a virgin. He bypassed the sin nature by skipping the man's bloodlines, came conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin. So he was the only one that came without a sin nature. Therefore, he was the only one that was able to be perfect. So we, you and I, everybody in this auditorium, there's not an auditorium, I should say everybody in this courtyard. So used to the auditorium. Everybody in this courtyard, everybody sitting in a chair, has been born with a natural sin nature. So when we allow our sin nature to control us, we can see the evident fruit of it. How many of you guys can look back to these descriptions? Let's go over them again. Verse number 19, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. How many of you can say that in today's society, at your school, at your place of business, within own members of your family, your friends, whoever it might be, that you can see these things applied, right? Because this stuff comes natural. All right, let's not beat around the bush. Let's be dead honest with each other. This stuff comes natural. And when we allow the sin nature, our flesh nature to operate, what we put in is what we're going to get out of our body. So when we operate in the works of the flesh, in the fruit of the flesh, these are the types of things that are going to come out. Now, some of these things might be a bit on the drastic side, like murder, right? I mean, not all of us are going to go out and murder somebody. You've seen those movies of the apocalypse and things like that where, you know, they'll kill each other for a glass of water. So who knows where time is going to go later on. You know, we might not all be into sorcery, you know, reading the anarchist cookbook or whatever it might be. You know, we may not be into, you know, idolatry. But as a matter of fact, actually, we as this generation practice that openly and we just don't realize it. It's in a different form. The works of the flesh are evident in us. You know, back in the day, you're reading the Bible, the children of Israel and the people following after God, they may have come up with golden calves or idols or different types of, you've heard the prophet or the god Baal that Elijah battled against and all that sorts of things. They had clear and evident idols. Today, we just have different names for them. Superstars, pop stars, rock stars, Steven Tyler, Jennifer Lopez, whoever it might be. People that we worship, we study their every move, we want to be like them. We allow them to influence on how we dress, how we talk, what we listen to, what we do. So as a matter of fact, the fruits of our flesh, idolatry is especially one of them. Whether it be influence in music, it might be somebody, actors, Brad Pitt, what's her name? Angelina, whoever it might be, we allow them to influence what we do. And all of a sudden they get in and they try to tell us what they think politically. Angelina Jolie. Pastor Joey's poking at her like, no. But we allow them to speak into our lives. What they say we ought to do is all of a sudden what we do. And it's great. A lot of them have grabbed onto humanitarian efforts and stuff like that, and that's great. But bottom line is the works of the flesh tell us, bad fruit tells us, that we're going to look at something other than God as our source. And when we allow our flesh, when we allow our sin nature to take a hold of us and to control us and put it in what and allow us to feed our bodies, feed our souls, the continuous things of the world, we're going to look at the things of the world, and that's where our norm is going to be. Going back to last week and being hearers and not doers. When we look at what the world says is cool and we read about the Bible, then obviously we're going to want to be hearers because the Bible is contrary to the Word of God. The Bible is contrary to what society says. Wow, that was an odd statement. The Bible is contrary to what society tells us. The Bible is the Word of God. So speaking of that, what we put in is what we get out. So here we see that, we've got fornication, adultery. I don't even have to touch on that subject, guys, even though I'm going to touch on that subject. You're sleeping around, living with somebody, premarital sex, whatever it might be. The Bible says that's the works of the flesh. That's not the works of the Spirit. Back when I was in youth and they pounded that stuff down our throat, what the thing was? It was, what would Jesus do? You remember that phrase? What would Jesus do? WWJD had the bracelet. And I remember our youth pastors at the time, Eddie and Don, every time my wife and I at the time, we'd be making out or whatever, let me just say this. We entered into the marriage bed, both of us undefiled. So anyways, all right, we never messed up. But, okay, we were stupid. We had works of the flesh. And I remember our youth pastor would always tell us, could Jesus fit between you two? What would Jesus do? So what you put in is what you get at. So the works of the flesh, fornication, adultery, everybody knows that it's the cool thing to go and sleep around. You got to try it out, man. I don't want to, how can I be with one woman, the guys say, for the rest of my life, man? I got to get out there and I got to be with all of them because I got to see what it's like with all of them. The Bible tells us that's the works of the flesh. The scary part is going down into verse number 22 or 21. He says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ also says adulterers and fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. Yet again, the same thing said by two separate things. So here we're getting a little bit deep. As a matter of fact, yes, it's natural for us to want to do that. We have emotions, we have feelings, but when we apply the works of the flesh, when we allow our flesh to control us and operate in us, the fruit that we bear by control of our flesh is going to be these types of things. Jesus and Paul the Apostle, the Bible itself refers to these things as bad fruit. And the statement at the end of that on both of those statements is bad fruit would be cut from the tree and cast into the what? Fire. Paul says that those who practice such things would not inherit the what? Kingdom of God. So we look at bad fruit. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, murders, drunkenness, revelries. Revelries being wild parties. Think of like frat parties and things like that. Don't you see when I'm going at this where it says, man, it's easy for us in our sin nature to say this is the fun stuff. It's fun to go out and have a good time. What's wrong with me, Pastor Luke, going out to the club or going out to my buddy's house, So what? They got a keg or they got a couple parties. Or, the music is doing this. I only listen to the beats. I only drink the iced tea. The bottom line is what you put in is what you're going to get out. And when you allow yourself to compromise, when you allow yourself to be surrounded by those types of things, drunkenness, lewdness, fornication, adultery, whatever it might be, revelry parties, if you go to the frat parties, what the bottom line is? At some point, like that first, second, third, fourth impression, at some point, the true nature is going to come out. And the bad fruit is going to come out. And once you start bearing bad fruit, the Bible makes it clear that bad fruit cannot come from a good tree. And good fruit cannot come from a bad tree. So, you're either one or the other. The Bible gives us a lot of black and white and very few gray areas because the gray areas are so often what we slip up in. And we, as the body of Christ, have got to be aware and got to be cautious for what it is that we do in these areas. We have got to guard our hearts, guard ourselves. Let me give you a little story about of looking at the fruit of the flesh. I am not perfect. And oftentimes, I operate in the fruits of the flesh. Now, obviously, I don't operate in adultery, fornication, or murder, anything like that. But you know what? There's one particular for me that I've had to work on. And that is in verse number 20, outbursts of wrath. All right, guys, listen, let me be honest with you. I have been known to have a temper, okay? you know, my father had a temper, and then, you know, they say I might have inherited whatever. I don't care. The bottom line is it's the nature of my son. When he's not getting fed or right, what, dude, you can see it. And so we've been praying for it. The fruits of the flesh. One time, Joey loves the story. This story will never escape me as long as I live. One time, we were playing video games. We had the stereo system all loud. And all of a sudden, just like tonight, the stereo system started crackling, started doing this and that. And I go to explore the back. Maybe a cable's unplugged or this or that. So I pulled the stereo system out of the shelf. Well, at that time, it was hot. It was summer. So we got our basketball shorts and our tank tops on, and I'm barefoot. As I pulled the stereo system out from the shelf to look in the back, the shelf that was the stereo system was sitting under came out with it and fell and hit all my 10 toes right across the back. All 10 toes barefoot. You know, you got a big 3/4-inch plywood shelf. Boom, right on. Oh, man, I lost it. Okay, here we're talking about bad fruit. All right, Pastor Luke operated in bad fruit at that point. The outbursts of wrath, we might call it rage, temper, whatever. I took the stereo system that was in perfectly good working order over my head, and I threw it on the ground. And I proceeded to try to operate in the fruits of the Spirit and walk away. And then all of a sudden, the fruits of the flesh, remember what I put in, was what I'm going to get out. I all my life, cater to my temper, and people just said, wow, you've got a temper. Nobody helped me with it, okay? And all of a sudden, I had to start working at it with God. I put in, and all of a sudden, the fruits of my flesh said, no, you're not ready to walk away. And I turn around, and I try to punch this metal stereo. Now, any of you who have ever tried to punch something hard, let alone metal, know that our hand is softer than metal. And just so happens, the spot that I punched was solid metal from top to bottom. So here I go with my hand all the way up above my head, trying to make contact like Zeus sending lightning down to earth. And I made clear contact with that stereo. And sure enough, I got myself a nice, what they call them, a boxer's fracture. You know, where you break that part of the outside of your hand. And I proceeded to, is it in here? Outbursts of rage, they don't speak of, but foul language proceeded out of my mouth. I did not operate in the fruits of the Spirit. I operated in the fruits of the flesh. And it was clearly evident as Pastor Joey and my other roommate James sat there on the couch and looked at me with mouth wide open in silence, not knowing what just happened. And here's the bottom line is that's funny. We poke at it. But you know what the scary thing is, and this is where I want to really drive it to it, is that it's out of our innermost is where our fruit comes. And you know, here I was. I was in Bible college, guys. All right, I was in Bible college. I am Pastor Jim's son. You know, I was like, I wasn't, Joey was the holy one of the group, but I was number two holy one of the group, okay? And you know, here I am, and we're studying the Bible. We're studying after the Word of God, sitting after these great men and women of God, and you would think that the fruit of my life, being reading the Bible, reading all these books every day, you would think that the fruit of my life would be the fruits of the Spirit, things that would be coming out, and you would see the good things, that I would be able to control my temper. But the bottom line is that I was feeding myself still the fleshly desires. I wasn't addressing the issue. And out of the innermost being, out of my innermost, the DNA is what I said earlier, because out of our very innermost, that's where the fruits come out of. And that's, I wasn't feeding that. I was living and abiding still in the things of the flesh. I was still into different things that were dragging me down, and I wasn't addressing those issues. And sure enough, when something happened and it set my anger off, I paid the price. Not only did I miss out on work, not only did I lose an example and now forever suffer endless ridicule at Joey telling the story to everybody who he knows, you know, because the fruits of the flesh came out. And that's the thing is, you know, it's a funny story that Pastor Luke lost his temper, cussed at this thing, broke it, destroyed it, perfectly good. The bottom line is that's what happens with us in our life. And the fruits of our flesh is that comes from the innermost. We can apply, we can try to do as best we can, but the bottom line is without God, our fruit will always be bad. Without Jesus Christ coming into our heart and changing us, the Bible says that we all things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. We have been new creations. The Bible tells us that with Christ in us, there is no condemnation, because without Jesus Christ, we are destined to bear bad fruit. And that's why Paul the Apostle, that's why Jesus Christ says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because those who practice such things truly do not have Jesus as the Lord and Savior of their life. So bad fruit, we read, is somebody who has envy, who has temper fits, who cusses, you know, like Pastor Luke does, or did, I should say. He doesn't anymore. Tries not to. You know, and that's the bottom line, is the fruits. We will be known by our fruits. So I encourage you guys to watch what it is that you put in. Watch what the fruit is. speaking of fruits, because we're going to get into the good fruit and the fruit of the Spirit. But to be wary, to be aware, because the Bible says you will be known by your fruits. And it's okay for you and I to look at ourselves and to examine ourselves and say, what kind of fruit is coming out of me? Is outbursts of rage? Is drunkenness? Is lewdness? Is adultery? Is fornication? Is envy? Is jealousy? Is covetousness coming out of me? Because if so, I need to check something in my life, because I am bearing bad fruit. Therefore, I am not a part of the good tree, and I'm in a bad place. So speaking of fruits, we just read about the Bible, about what it says of bad fruit. Now, let's end on that high note, the fruits of the Spirit. Are you guys ready to look into good fruit? Jesus says in Matthew, the 7th chapter, that a good tree bears good fruit and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree does not bear bad fruit and a bad tree does not bear good fruit. So looking at those who are connected to the tree, those who are connected to the vine Jesus refers himself to, we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit continuing on in Galatians. And in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse number 22, Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of what's inside of us. The byproduct of what we put in, the fruit, when we put the Spirit in our life, this is the byproduct of us as Christians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, long-suffering, is kindness, goodness, faithfulness, is gentleness, is self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, not becoming conceited but or provoking one another or envying one another. Paul the Apostle, writing to the church, says, here, we've just looked at, we've just described what bad fruit is, what the works of the flesh is. Now he says, but in contrast, on the contrary, the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We talked about the fruit of the flesh being ingrained in our sin nature. Here, Paul the Apostle goes on to say that if we are Christ, we have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So now all of a sudden, we who operate in the Spirit, when we live in the Spirit, when we adopt the things of God into our lives and we apply these principles and we live them and we truly allow God to take over what we do, Paul says a very important part. Oftentimes we look over it when we read this. He says that those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh. We have cut that old tree off. We sent that darn thing into the fire, and now we are living as a new creation. And therefore, our fruit no longer is the envy, the covetousness, the murdering, the lewd parties, the drunkenness, the adultery, the fornication. But now, our fruit, because we are ingrained, we are engrafted into the tree of life, we are a part of Jesus Christ and the body of Christ. Now, our fruit that you and I can bear is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Speaking of the example that Pastor Luke just talked about, had I been operating in the fruit of the Spirit, I would have practiced self-control. How many of you in this place have ever lost your temper? How many of you ever in this place have ever been put in a situation where everybody around you knew, oh man, that's going to set him off or that's going to set her off when they know, I don't even want to be around, you know. And when you hear the news, you've operated in self-control and you've controlled yourself. Has anybody ever been that way? I hope some of us can say that we've lived in the fruit of the Spirit and we've practiced self-control. Maybe when everybody thought, man, I thought you'd be worse than that. And I, oh no, you know, whatever, whatever happens, happens. You know, I recall back into the days of working in the video department. And I remember, you know, I used to lose my temper. Poor guy, his name was Corey Hamilton, who worked in the video department. That guy, whenever he'd mess up, I'd just scream at him from my director's chair. And now Chris will tell you, most of the time in the control room, if something happens, it's, well, you know, Chris one time said, well, Pastor Luke, you're just out of it. No, I'm not out of it. Now I'm just practicing self-control. Now I'm not, it's not my place to yell and scream and to go crazy. The Westricks are back there chuckling because Daniel knows Pastor Luke from the beginning, from Pastor Luke now, is two different people in the control room. Why? Because now all of a sudden, when I have actually adopted the principles of God and I've actually sacrificed, I've crucified that flesh nature, now all of a sudden the fruits of the Spirit begin to apply themselves in my life, and things that used to set me off, things that used to turn me away, things that used to make me a member of the body of the flesh and the fruits of the flesh, now all of a sudden I'm operating in the fruits of the Spirit. Why? Because what I have begun to put in my life now all of a sudden is starting to come out. And from the innermost to the outermost, I am beginning to change. Now, I will be the first to admit, amongst all of us, I am not perfect. And I do have my moments where I still say things to the video camera operators or somebody who's messed up or Chris in the control room or whoever it might be. I still say things that I regret later on. But the bottom line is from the innermost, now all of a sudden, I am operating in the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Don't we as the body of Christ want to live a life of peace? Don't we want to live a life of long-suffering, of goodness, of gentleness, instead of being violent, instead of being somebody that's driven by what society tells us? All of a sudden now we are driven by what God says, and our fruit therefore bears it. And our fruit, all of a sudden our lives have more fulfillment. Why? Because the fruit that we bear, the fruit that we put in, whatever it is we feed ourselves, the Word of God or what TV and society tell us, is all of a sudden our fruit is going to bear. Jesus tells us in Matthew, the 7th chapter, you will know them by their fruit. Just like we talked about, the citrus trees. You can't tell them necessarily when they don't have fruit. But when the grapefruit's on the grapefruit tree, you know it's a grapefruit tree. And when the lime is on the lime tree, then you know now it's a lime tree. The bottom line is you and I, when we operate in the things of the Spirit, we can see now that is a member of the body of Christ. Now all of a sudden, speaking of last week's message, when we begin to operate and we begin to be doers of the word, and not just hearers, all of a sudden the fruit of the Spirit begins to become more bountiful in our life. And there's a changeover. Let me explain that changeover to you. In Luke, and we'll end in this. In Luke, the 13th chapter, verse number 7. Jesus is speaking a parable, and he's talking about a tree. In Luke, the 13th chapter, he says, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he, verse number 6, this is, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. He said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I have found none. Cut it down. Why does it use the ground? But he answered, said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. Jesus speaking. Oftentimes we think of this and the parable of this is God watching us. The Bible tells us that we have such a great cloud of witnesses watching over us, waiting for the fruit to come, the good fruit. Jesus says, I've come and I've expected good fruit. How many times has God said that about you and I? I have expected to see good fruit out of you, and I have come. And each year, time after time, bad fruit comes. And then the servant says to the master, please, give this tree a chance. Let's do the right thing. Let's put good stuff into it. Let's fertilize it. Let's water it. Let's sow into this tree and see then if there's a transformation. And if there is a transformation and all of a sudden this tree begins to bear fruit, praise God, now we've got fruit. And if not, we'll cut it down because it's just a waste of space. Here, God is telling us, you and I, the church, the body of Christ, listen, guys, our opportunity to bear good fruit is now. It is not tomorrow. It was not yesterday. It is now. We have to sow into our life, to fertilize, to give it good water, to put the Word of God into our hearts and into our lives, to be doers of the Word so that we have the opportunity to bear good fruit. Because ultimately, like Jesus said in Matthew, the 7th chapter, like Paul the Apostle wrote to the church in Galatians, the 5th chapter, if we do not operate and we in the things of God and our fruit does not bear the fruit of a good tree, we will be cut down. So tonight, looking at contrasts in the Bible, good fruit versus bad fruit. Do you want to be the fruit that is cut down, cast out into the fire? Or do you want to be the fruit that inherits the kingdom of God? In Rome, Paul says in conclusions, not even on the overhead, Paul says in Romans, the 8th chapter, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To live according to the flesh guarantees us death, bad fruit. But to be spiritually minded, to transform our thinking each and every day, the Bible tells us to renew our minds. What we put in to be spiritually minded is now life, and not just life, life and peace. Because we have a rest, we have an understanding of who we are, and the fact that we can look at our limbs, we can look at the byproduct of our actions and see, wow, I have good fruit. Did you guys get something out of the word tonight? Praise God, praise God. We have a decision each and every day whether or not we're going to bear good fruit or we're going to bear bad fruit. And I encourage you tonight, guys, speaking to application, if you bear bad fruit, don't give up. Just like the master or the servant said to the master, listen, let me take some time with this tree. Dedicate some time and attention by giving it fertilizer, by giving it good water. Just the other day, Pastor Luke's being right open and honest with you. Some of you have heard the story of my entertainment center from hell that I donned on in December and finished in March, while my neighbor just suckered me into building him the same entertainment center. So Pastor Luke I'm a sucker for trial and temptation. I made a bad cut with my neighbor, cut a good piece of wood, cut it too short, wasted it, and I said a bad word. And my neighbor just ate it up. Yes, the pastor said a bad word! Like, I get to say a bad word. So I had to go to my neighbor and apologize. Listen, man. Listen, Tim. Honestly, in the scale of bad words, it wasn't even like in the middle to me. But anyways, I had to go to him and say, listen, man, that's not the action that I want to have. That's not how I should have reacted. I'm sorry. You know, but that's the good fruit coming out of the bad fruit that I am still replacing. I am putting the fertilizer in the ground and I am watching my mouth. So you know what? If you bear bad fruit or if you say a bad word or you slip up, don't let it stop there. The Bible says in Christ there is no condemnation. So get yourself right. Repent before the Lord. The Bible says he's faithful and just to cleanse us of unrighteousness and forgive us of our sins and move on and sow fertilizer, sow good things into the tree, into your life, and watch the good fruit take over the bad fruit. Okay? Praise God, guys.